Ryan Rashog joining us, not from Sochi, but he's back. And I heard you brought home a stray dog.
Nope. I'm not that guy. Not going to say that I don't have any sympathy for the strays, but not enough to pack one into a bag and bring it home with me.
Yeah, that'd be a long flight for them. But I know a lot of people, a lot of the NHL guys did it, I hear.
Yeah, well, David Backes did, right?
Yeah, and a few of his other teammates, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know.
You could get, if you're going to get a dog, like, then get one from Alberta.
Yeah, like, is that just, aren't they full of, like, I don't know. I don't mean to be insensitive here, but aren't stray dogs kind of like, you need to get them, like, I don't know. Aren't they full of, like, disease or worms or something? Like, it just seems sketchy.
Potentially, some of them are, yes. But you know what's crazy? You can treat worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, you good to? On them, but yeah. I'm not that guy.
All right. I think you need a dog in your house, though, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I need. Thank goodness my kids don't listen to your show. Otherwise, I would junk punch you next time I saw you because I've had to say no, like, 30 times in the last 5 years to a dog.
I want to get your thoughts on the St. Louis situation. Mackenzie's saying he's asked for a trade, but only to the Rangers.
Yeah.
What do you think of this situation? Because I think it's a joke.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got the no trade, right? So he can try and call his own shot. And yeah. I mean, I think this goes back a ways. I think that the relationship was probably first dinged up back in 2010 when he got, you know, when he wasn't taken. And then I think this time around, it's probably banged them up even more. The one thing we have to realize is we don't know everything behind this. So there's probably more that's gone on than will or has been reported. So you kind of have to take it all with a certain grain of salt, guys. But on the face of it, on the surface, it looks kind of crybaby-ish and a little silly to me.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I'm with you. I think there's got to be something more there, whether it's over this latest episode or, as you say, maybe an erosion of the relationship. Marty hasn't been that kind of me guy. Tampa's been good for him. He's been good for Tampa. It just seems like a gross overreaction. And on top of that, it's not get me out of here. It's get me out of here and I only want to go to New York.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you're done with the situation and you want to move on, okay, that's within your rights to go and let the team know, look, I'd like to go. But to try and call your own shot that way, and I guess if that's the way the contract worked, fine. But he needs to be prepared to just sit there and have Steve Yzerman say, yep, all well and good, but I'm not trading you. Tough luck. And that's Steve Yzerman's prerogative too. So I think probably what happens is if Marty St. Louis is going to be moved, then Steve Yzerman will shop him all over the place and then test the guy's resolve to how much he wants out of Tampa and go back to him and say, all right, I got deals here, 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 and here, and this one's up to you. But if the Rangers deal makes sense, then fine. But I think he'd be crazy not to shop him around and try and see the best offers he can get. And if Marty really wants out of town, then he'll have a few chances.
Ryan, after being front and center at the Olympics and seeing how much the players enjoy it, mm-hmm. it's not going to be as much of a fight as we see the usual CBA every 7 or 8 years. But mm-hmm. what's your impression? Do you think we will see NHL players in 2018?
Yeah, my initial thought is that we probably will. I think that, I mean, if you look at the way USA Hockey went about its business at these Olympics, you can tell they were trying to soak every ounce of attention they could out of it. You can tell how much they need this in the States to help try and improve the profile of the game. Like, Dave Fisher, who's the media guy for USA Hockey, went so far to make players available. I mean, way above and beyond what you'd ever see in a Stanley Cup playoff, way above and beyond what Canada did. They understand the stage, and so they were trotting players all the way across to the main press center for non-rights holders. They were doing huge availabilities, I think probably to the detriment of the team in some cases. This is a big-profile thing, and USA Hockey needs it. So my gut feel is that they probably will be, but the one thing that we can't discount is how big a deal a World Cup of Hockey could end up being as well, a true best-on-best World Cup of Hockey, because for the owners and the players to get together on that and to work together and basically split the profits from it. You know, conservative estimates are around $30 million on a first-run World Cup of Hockey for profit. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing. And if they could do that every 3 or 4 years and take all the money, then I think that is the one thing that could put a bit of a dent in this Olympic idea.
Oh, I think the World Cup likely happens either way. The difference for the World Cup is, Ryan, that's all about money. I don't think it exposes anybody who's like a non-hockey fan. The Olympics, you know, we had people texting in, their family lives in Italy, and they were talking about Canada's men's hockey team. They never talk about hockey. And
yeah.
Some will argue that that doesn't help you, but if you want a global brand, and trust me now with the internet and how you can sell stuff marketing, the more exposure you can have in Asia and Europe and other places that aren't diehard hockey nations, that is actually good for the NHL, and the only way they can get that type of worldly exposure is at the Olympics.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, for sure. I mean, the Olympics offers a stage and piques people's interest who would normally not give your product the time of day. So absolutely, I agree with you, it does that. But, I mean, the argument for against, it's understandable. I mean, they don't, you know, they don't make any money off of it, really. And you're exposing your players to risk for zero tangible return. I mean, you look at what teams are going through now with these injured players coming back. And so I definitely see both sides of it, but I do agree. There's no stage like the Olympics. And if you can, if they can just find a way to monetize it a little bit, something tangible for the owners and for the players, and find a way to work with the International Olympic Committee, it would just make more sense for them. Because, look, they make the Olympics a ton of money. The hockey side does. Like, they make, if I read correctly, I mean, they make the IOC and the Olympic Committee more money than any of the other sports combined, even in terms of the draw and the TV and all that stuff. So the Olympics need them, and there's got to be a way for the NHL to try and capitalize on that a little bit.
What's the best untold story that you can share with us from over there, whether it's I don't mean off the record stuff, I'm just you know, the USA Canada game was great to get there, the remarkable defensive play, on dominating performance in the gold medal game. But is there something, let me put it this way, is there something you took away from there that's not necessarily headline news, but you went, wow, that's something?
Yeah, good question. I would say probably the first thing that pops into my head, and because he's just simply not a great interview, just doesn't really catch the headlines and doesn't really catch the attention. But, and in 2010, he was left off the team, and I believe he was left off the team because real important people making the decisions didn't think they could win with him. But Jay Bouwmeester, to me, was fantastic in this tournament. He absolutely proved he can play with and against world-class players. He and Alex Pietrangelo, they weren't as high-profile as Drew Doughty or Shea Weber. Those two were just a backbone pairing for Canada, and I just thought they were amazing. And I thought Jay did an incredible job of showing that when the chips are down, even though he hasn't played a lot of playoff hockey in his life, his level absolutely can be raised. And you know, he's not a real social kind of guy with the media. He speaks in real dulcet tones and kind of, you know, we've all tried to interview him before. He hates the attention. But I was very impressed with Bouwmeester, and to me, really stood out as a world-class defenseman at this tournament for me. And that was a story that I think went largely untold, was that pairing and him in particular. I thought he was one of their best defensemen a couple of games. The way he penalty killed and the way he was just so steady. So to me, that's one of the stories that never really got told out there, was how good he was.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Ryan, you know, a lot of the names out there, it's funny. Now people are suggesting Ryan Kessler maybe as trade bait. The Vancouver situation for me is an interesting one. They are, you know, they're really right at a crossroads, because they're not bad enough to go into a rebuild, and they clearly, I don't think, have enough to compete with the top teams in the Pacific Division. So, and they only got about a 2 or 3 year window until clearly the Sedins aren't close to the players, and maybe they're already on the downside of the mountain anyway. What do you think Mike Gillis does? Do you think he actually moves some guys out, Or do you think he tries to make one last gas and add somebody?
Yeah, that's a tough situation, isn't it? Because he waits too much longer, and he's pretty much in the Calgary Flames, Jerome Iginla, Mika Kiprusoff triangle of death. Like, the Sedins are only a few years away from kind of being in that same zone where Jerome was at, and where the Flames insisted that they weren't going to do it, they weren't going to do it, they weren't going to do it, and in the end they waited too long. And I think the Vancouver Canucks are quite close to a similar type scenario. So the problem is they need to find a way to stay decent even while they're turning the team over. And the real good GMs out there seem to be finding a way to do that. Like, even like the San Jose Sharks, they're turning themselves over. Make no mistake. I know the guys, Joe and Patrick Marleau, just signed new deals, but they're turning themselves over. They have good young players coming. That's Logan Couture's team moving forward. The Canucks don't really have that guy in place. So I think there needs to be a middle ground for him. He needs to find a way to slowly start turning the team over while at the same time staying competitive, because I don't think the appetite is there for a total rebuild. Tough spot to be in. I don't think you trade Ryan Kessler. I think he's unique. I don't think there's a lot of him out there. But I think the time is going to come in the next season or two where you probably have to look at moving the Sedins. And that is what you turn over to a team that's desperate to win now and start putting some good pieces in place.
Sugar, we'll talk orders tomorrow when they take on the Minnesota Wild. Have a good one, and good luck finding a dog.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to get my sleep patterns turned around so I can stay awake through a full day. I actually had to wake up to do this radio hit.
Oh, well, there you go. Just stay up all night once. You'll be fine.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Have a good one.
See you guys.